And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller! You can't stop him! How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight. Well, a couple of months ago, an important appointment made in the league offices in New York. Former Buffalo Bill defensive back Troy Vincent was named the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Troy Vincent joins us now live on the line. Troy, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. How are you doing tonight?
Oh. Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, last time we were going to get together down a couple of months ago in Orlando at the owners' meetings, and then, of course, the unfortunate passing of Ralph Wilson kind of preempted everything. But I know you were very close to Mr. Wilson during your playing time, weren't you?
Yes. It was a tremendous mentor of mine. I really learned the business of football. My 3 years in Buffalo, Mr. Wilson spent an extended amount of time each week, you know, coming in, whether we were playing home or away, and every Friday we would go get our tuna melt, and for hours, literally for hours, would literally teach me the business of football. And at that time, I was the Players Association president, so I knew a lot about labor relations. I had negotiated at that point, at that particular time, two or three BA extensions. But the business of football, I must contribute that Mr. Wilson, I mean, week in and week out, taught me and shared with me the business of football. So I owe a lot of my, at least temporary success, to some great people, and Mr. Wilson was one of those individuals who he shared in on my growth as a professional.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who can say that about Mr. Wilson. Hey, Troy, one of the reasons I got thinking about having you on the show this week, this time of year, was the beginning all around the league, including here in Buffalo, of OTAs, organized team activity. When you played here, 04, 05, and 06, I remember, and during that time, you were president of the NFLPA, but you were very adamant about the off-season time that teams required players to spend on football, the OTAs. The new CBA has limited that, but can you talk about that and your concerns, you know, way back then now, 8 years ago or more, about, you know, how many off-season workouts are mandated by the league?
Yes, well, I mean, it has changed. It's evolved over, and especially in the last collective bargaining agreement. Time and time away from the field and how you practice during that off season. It was evident it was important for leadership on the Players Association side here to make sure that proper rest, the lack of contact was important. And we're seeing, 3 years later, John, we're seeing the effects of the development of the athlete, and OTAs are important. Because as a young player, you need those reps. The only way you get better and you progress as a professional in this league is you have to have the reps. As an older vet, you've been there, you've done that. You want less contact, where the young individual who's dreaming, he's hungry, he wants more of it. And that's something that we as a league today, we monitor to make sure that all clubs are working in compliance of the CBA and what can and can't be done in that time frame. During the OTAs and mini camps. So it is something that's important to both league office clubs and also the players and the Players Association.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that because we talked with Fred Jackson, the Bills running back, about OTAs when he got started. He actually, in a way, credits the OTAs for him in his rookie year when he just came over from NFL Europe. But the exposure he got, the chance to get reps during the OTAs, he thought kept him around in 06 on the practice squad, and now he's, you know, all of a sudden the third leading rusher in franchise history. The young guys can benefit from some of this OTA time.
No question. I mean, you have a limited amount of time, especially when you get in training camp, where most coaches have an idea of what that roster is going to look like, at least that top 26 players. And then you have to say, how do I see what the young players that we've drafted, that we brought in from free agency – How are they picking up the system? And it becomes valuable. So there's a, I think there's a fine balance. When I was, you know, back in 92 when I came into Miami, those days in the spring were critical because it's the only time that I can get it where I wasn't on a clock. And now, you know, with the way things are set up, with less time on the field, it's critical. And to Fred's point, those young players that take advantage of that, when a, you got a veteran that's sitting, it's extra reps for that third, fourth, and fifth guy on a roster in that position.
We're with Troy Vincent, the NFL's new executive vice president of football operations. And Troy, I read where recently, I guess about a month or so, you made a good point about something that you'd like to see moving forward, a possible developmental league for young players. How would that work? What do you have in mind there?
Well, it was something I did an interview that, and this topic has gotten a lot of conversation and discussion. And one of the things, I not in any particular order or priority, I just felt like talking about technology and what this technology look like on the sideline in the future and how it enhances our game with keeping the fabric of what our game is made of and how we've grown it. I talked about the development of the player. And at some point in time, I've been talking to club executives, coaches, players, people on the outside, consultants, even fans about just their appetite of a developmental league. You know, when is it? When's the best time of the year? How many weeks should it be? How many teams? So it's been a topic of discussion and just getting different viewpoints. Frankly, John, it's just been, you know, it's something that we have to do. It's just a matter of time. And I want to just make sure that I'm exploring all opportunities, that it's, I'm being fiscally responsible, that to make making sure that we are developing the player properly. Again, getting a bunch of different perspectives. I'm compiling notes and files. It is work in progress. I don't have a timeline, but it is something that eventually we should be seeing in the future.
It does appeal, I think, on many levels, Troy, including when you see this draft this past year when 100 underclassmen declared for the draft. 30 or more did not even get drafted. It almost would help solve that problem of guys trying to, you know, that maybe don't belong in college and are not getting the benefits of college football, and they can turn professional on a lower level and maybe be better NFL players at some day.
Well, I mean, that could be one, and you bring up another topic of that we've been having lengthy discussion even at our this past owners meeting a week ago or 2 weeks ago here, those underclassmen. And we really want to look at how we evaluate. When you look at the number, there were like 214 who actually, you know, sent in their application to be evaluated. You look at 75. And the number of underclassmen that are dreaming and are thinking that they're ready. We recommend if you're not a first or second rounder, you need to stay in school, mature as an athlete, continue your furthering your education, but a developmental lead, an academy, all of those things we believe will be other alternatives in developing and looking and monitoring. You know, we're the only professional league, one of the only few professional leagues that college right now is our pipeline, and we believe that we can expand that scope. And give our clubs, our GMs, our coaches, our scouts, our player personnel folks a wider cast net and look at, and then also a pointed area, places where people can go and see.
Hey, Troy, you mentioned the technology, and I know that's something that you're interested in. I mean, a lot of teams are there. The Bills and many other teams now use tablet or iPads for playbooks, but you think there's a way to employ that during a game on the field, on the sidelines? I mean,
yes,
we're almost there now, aren't we?
Yes, we're looking at that, and each club actually has, each coach has a tablet. You know, using the Microsoft Surface, one of our technology partner. And when you think about it, we're in 2014, and we're still using paper on the sideline. And I know in our world, in our landscape, the player, the coach, oftentimes change becomes, it's like pulling teeth. We don't want change. We don't like it, but we have to look at how do we continue to grow our game? We talk about technology, and the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, why am I still looking at still shots on the sideline? The paper get wet, it's starting to stick. We believe that looking at technology, it potentially can make the game more competitive. Coaches, players, be more efficient. So we're looking at every aspect. The coaches have tablets now. We'll be doing some training actually here in the month of June and July at each of the clubs with our coaches and then selected players to see how they feel about or what they would incorporate to assist them in bringing technology to the sideline.
Hey, Troy, I was looking at a description of your job as the Executive Vice President of Football Operations. It says your responsibilities include officiating, integrity of the game, on-field discipline, game operations, player personnel, college relations. You got a lot on your table, my man. You got a lot going on.
It's a huge responsibility. And John, I'm so fortunate and blessed and just so thankful to have an opportunity to be a contributor to the game that I've grown to love, a game that I've participated in. Professionally for 15 years, collegiately, and now I can be part of preserving a great game and being an active participant in developing the future of it. So my particular role, it's a blessing, it's an awesome responsibility. Don't take it lightly, but I'm looking forward to it. I think that I can bring some things to the table that are unique to assist the commissioner and all 32 clubs in advancing our game.
Troy, one of the things that's been talked about, and I think the league's made a concerted effort in recent years of dealing with on-field incidents, getting some of the head hits and the violence out of the game, but you have a plan to actually speak with players. It's not just going to be, the justice handed down from New York, right? It's going to be speaking with players about the suspensions that come down.
And yeah, I just started that this week. I made my first trip to Detroit, and I had to sit down with Sue and the sit-down and discussion, their conversations, we want to be transparent. The objective here is to keep players on the field. And my discussion, really the focus is here, it's about protecting players from unnecessary risk. Protecting players from unnecessary risk. And we're never making a decision in a vacuum. There are things and techniques that we want to remove from the game to protect players from unnecessary risk, the player, the hitter, and the hittee. So this sit down was just a discussion. Let's get on the same page. What are you seeing? Let's talk about what you're seeing. I had an opportunity, and one thing I could say, Sue has made adjustments. So when I looked at 40 of his games, and you can see him progress. And we're not talking about that enough. And there are many players around the league. There are about 12 individuals that I want to sit down and let's look at tape together. Let's see what you're seeing because the objective is to keep you on the field. You're too valuable to the club, to the franchise, to your teammates to remove you, to be taken, to suspend you, to be fining you. That's not the objective.
Troy, of all the things that you deal with in your new job, what do you think pose the biggest challenges to pro football moving forward in the years ahead?
I think making sure that we don't become so that the fabric and the values of football remain the values of football. With technology and the digital community, that the fabric of football and what football is all about, teamwork, camaraderie, respect, sportsmanship, that those true elements that bring communities together every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday across our country, I want to make sure that we preserve that because it's been good for years and years that football is a fabric, a real fabric and a cornerstone of all of our communities and that we don't let the business get so far in front of us that we lose a true element of what football really means.
Troy, congratulations on the job. We thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. Good to talk with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.